Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We'll hear from PI Financial Commodity Futures Advisor Adam Piccolo. Also on today's program, the Saskatchewan Trade and Export Development Minister, Jeremy Harrison, he's leaving today for a five-day trade mission to Japan and South Korea. We'll hear what he has to say about what sort of items they're going to be pushing there. An independent agricultural consultant has been making his rounds in the Parkland region this week. Brad Magnuson was in Wadena on Tuesday and Swan River on Wednesday, and he provided producers with tips on their agriculture strategy and management. We will hear from him coming up on today's program. So all of those stories and much more on today's edition of GX in Agriculture. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Milligan Bio. Milligan Bio now offers BioMeal for your livestock, giving your animals more protein, more energy, and more of what they need. It's also brought to you by Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. Grain prices are mixed for the week. PI Financial Commodity Futures Advisor Adam Piccolo says spring wheat futures are down about 5 cents a bushel, while canola has gained about $18 per metric ton.
Starting off on the canola front here, March canola increased approximately $18 a ton. The move largely came actually at the beginning of the week, and kind of the last few days we've seen canola trading a little bit more sideways to where it currently sits at approximately $8.27 a ton. On the Minneapolis wheat front, we're down about 5 cents a bushel on the week. March Minneapolis sitting at about 9.16 here today, down approximately 9 cents. So today, and the story I'm talking about with clients this week, is we could see 2 weeks of much drier than normal conditions coming out of Argentina and South America. So we've seen definite tightness in meal supplies already, and bull spreads continue to work higher, particularly in the March and May contracts. So on top of the potential for a sharp drop in, again, meal and soybean supply, Argentina's crush pace is still slow, and producers are really reluctant to sell soybeans without help from the currency market. So more talk of a record high crop from Brazil has helped to limit some of the upside. So we are seeing soybeans kind of backing off from some of the highs here. And in particular, soybean oil, I am watching quite closely as it relates to canola, because it is trading at the lower end of the range that it has been since last summer.
And he provides his outlook for next week and beyond.
Well, next week I would like to see the wheat market build on some of the gains we've seen over the last month. There has been some smaller crops expected for Ukraine and Russia, and poor conditions for the U.S. crop in particular. So the market may begin to build some weather premium. However, I've seen in the past that be talked about by analysts, and the weather changes quick and everything turns out to be fine. So that can obviously go the other way, where again, crop conditions definitely deteriorate faster. But I've been talking with clients to, especially at least on the canola front, with some of the increases we've seen recently, to look at protecting some new.
Adam Piccolo is a commodity futures advisor with PI Financial in Winnipeg. It's time now for the Ag Review portion of our program, and that's a presentation of New Era Ag Technologies in Swan River.
GX94, Ag Review.
While flax prices in Western Canada have fallen by at least half from what they were 1 year ago, they are still too high to be competitive on a global level, according to one flax processor. Mike Popowich, owner and vice president of TA Foods Limited here in Yorkton, says demand for the crop grown in Western Canada is currently not as strong as for other commodities, despite flax's recent status as a heart-healthy food. He says demand is fairly weak and the price is still too high for competitive bidding in the export markets. Popowich says there seems to be an excess on the market, which is weighing on prices and has been over the last couple of months. As of Wednesday, the high delivered bid for flax in Saskatchewan was $17.50 per bushel, down $1 from the start of 2023, and down $20.50 from 1 year ago, according to Prairie Ag Hotwire. Manitoba now has representation on a network of smart farms in Western Canada. Manitoba Beef and Forage Initiatives, Inc., otherwise known as MBFI, is the newest member of the Pan-Canadian Smart Farm Network. The network launched in June of 2021. Led by Olds College in Alberta, it's a network of smart farms committed to sharing data and expertise that will help farmers, industry, and developers better understand, use, and develop smart agricultural technologies. MBFI focuses on advancing the province's beef cattle and forage industry through innovation, education, and the adoption of agricultural technology and practices. Some of the assets MBFI brings to the network includes the Brookdale Farm Learning Center, the Precision Ranching Data Center, soil and forage sampling equipment, and a mobile laboratory trailer. CNH Industrial says 2023 net sales of industrial activities would grow by between 6 and 10% after the group posted stronger than expected results in the last quarter of 2022. The industry faced several headwinds in 2022, including a choppy supply chain and inflation, but late in the year these problems began to modestly improve and the trend should continue into 2023. The Italian-American farming and construction machine maker forecast its 2023 free cash flow of industrial activities at between $1.3 billion U.S. and $1.5 billion, compared with $1.6 billion last year. In spite of a lesser impact of inflation on some areas, the company says price rises would still have to be a part of the company's strategy going into 2023. According to the Rabo Research Quarterly Pork Report put out by Rabobank, the global recession is playing havoc with the pork market. The report states that the global recession is affecting pork demand and increasing volatility, and although it predicts an uptick in trade in 2023, the reopening of China comes with a dual-edged sword honed with both opportunities and uncertainties. Even though pork is impacted less than the more expensive meat proteins, it is still feeling the effects of the slow economy. Regardless of pork meat's value, consumers are watching the wallet around the world. With inflation hitting the grocery shelves, the report also noted that costs for everything have gone up, that being heating bills, fuel for transportation, clothing, and other expenses. A leading Canadian researcher and expert in safe storage of grain is headed westbound and up to the head office at another Prairie University. Dr. Digvir Jayas, currently on sabbatical as professor and vice president of research and international at the University of Manitoba in Winnipeg, will become president and vice chancellor at the University of Lethbridge, effective July 1st of this year. J.S. was born and raised on a farm in India, studied ag engineering there, and completed his grad degree and Ph.D. at the universities of Manitoba and Saskatchewan, respectively. He began teaching at the U of M in 1985, becoming an internationally known authority and researcher on drying handling and storing of grains and oilseeds, and digital imagery processing for grading and processing operations in agri-food. And that's the AgriView portion of our program. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will be back in 60 seconds time. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Faulkner. It's cloudy and minus 17 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at 1 o'clock. Saskatchewan Trade and Export Development Minister Jeremy Harrison leaves today for a 5-day trade mission to Japan and South Korea. Harrison says the trade mission will promote Saskatchewan farm products as well as critical minerals.
On the ground for 5 days in total, 3 days in Japan, 2 days in Korea, very, very high-level meetings with government and with private sector. Obviously, Japan and Korea are very important markets for Saskatchewan. $1.4 billion in annual trade with Japan, ag commodities being a very, very important part of that, and the market we see a potential for a lot of growth in as well.
He tells us what goods he'll be promoting in Japan.
Well, canola is the largest export to Japan, but we have very long-established trade relationships for other commodities as well. One interesting part I think people don't know, but actually a very large portion of Sapporo beer, the actual barley, is grown in Saskatchewan for Sapporo beer that is created in Japan, made in Japan, and exported around the world. That's been a very long-standing trade relationship. In addition to that, I mean, we're going to be continuing our very long-standing relationship with regard to potash sales to Japan, and really what we feel is an emerging area as far as rare earth elements and critical minerals, but rare earths particularly. The Japanese are one of the largest consumers of rare earths in the entire world, and they source almost all of them from China, and they have a huge interest in sourcing those rare earths from outside of China. Saskatchewan has one of the leading projects in the entire world outside of China right now through the Saskatchewan Research Council, and we're going to be having some, I anticipate, very, very good discussions in that regard.
Harrison outlines their plans for South Korea.
Well, Korea is about a $250 million a year export market for us right now, and we really believe that that number can be very, very much higher. And whether that be in the ag commodity space, canola particularly, and this is actually part of this following on a mission that had been done pre-COVID. At that point, the late Jim Carr and I had gone, he representing obviously the government of Canada, me the province of Saskatchewan, and what we were seeking to do was expand our canola footprint in that Asian market, but particularly in Korea. And we have seen a significant increase. But we really believe that, you know, continuing to work with our companies and our partners in that market, we can export, we can further grow that market in Korea, in canola particularly.
He says he'll also be promoting sustainable bioenergy in the form of flax straw turned into pellets.
That's exactly right. One of our leading companies in this space, Prairie Clean Energy, will be on the mission as well. And one thing we really endeavor to do, both through our international offices and the government of Saskatchewan, is really work to help our companies succeed in markets outside of Canada and leveraging our resources as government to help them succeed in a commercial context. So we're going to be working with Prairie Clean Energy on this mission, and we do this with companies right across the province. The Saskatchewan Trade and Export Partnership really spearhead a lot of that work, but as the government, we work to promote and ensure and help our companies succeed in international markets, whether they be small, medium, or large, and that's something we really have committed to doing and have redoubled those efforts with our international offices.
Harrison says Japan and South Korea are very important markets for Saskatchewan.
Well, absolutely, and I mean, a big part of what we've sought to do in a high-level context as well has really been to diversify our trade into the Indo-Pacific, and that means diversifying our trade away from the very heavy reliance we've had on China and to replace what some of those exports had been into China into other markets in the Asia Pacific. So that means Japan, that means Korea, that means Vietnam, that means Indonesia, that means the Philippines. And that's been a big part of the overall approach we have taken and how we've set up our international offices in the Asia Pacific and how we've engaged with both the public and private sector in those markets.
Saskatchewan Trade and Export Development Minister Jeremy Harrison returns February 10th from a trade trip to Japan and South Korea.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for April are trading at 163.92, up 10. June live cattle trading at 160.12, up 12. March feeder cattle trading at 186.20, up 27. April feeder cattle trading at 190.35, also up 27. April lean hogs trading at 86.30, that's up 30. May lean hogs trading at 95.27, unchanged. And that's the livestock market conditions. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will be back in 1 minute's time. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. An independent agricultural consultant has been making his rounds in the Parkland region this week. Brad Magnuson was in Wadena on Tuesday and Swan River on Wednesday. He provided producers with tips on their agriculture strategy and management.
Yes, we're talking about management. We're also talking about understanding how commodities, how grain relates to other commodities, like, for example, how does copper or mid-grade steel or gross domestic product, GDP, affect the demand for commodities? And then if we understand how those interrelate, then we can start forming patterns and getting a better understanding of why commodity prices, grain prices, wheat, canola, soybeans, are moving in the pattern that they're moving.
He first tells us why he believes canola prices have been so volatile over the past couple of years.
It actually helps us to understand the global picture. First of all, the price of canola is really decided by more of the soybean market. Soybean affects canola, canola affects soybeans. So our supply and demand on a macro picture really depends on how much soybeans we have globally and how much are we producing. And is there areas of the world that are having a very big crop or a small crop? Once we understand how those macro factors affect our main support of soybeans, then we start looking at a production supply and demand of canola. And I'll give you a perfect example. Right now, we're going to be harvesting, or are harvesting, the largest soybean crop ever produced in Brazil, approximately 152 to 159 million tons. Now, what happens is when we have a large crop like that, it puts it and adds to our global supply. That puts downward pressures on soybeans, which puts downward pressure on our canola.
However, Magnuson says the current drought in Argentina isn't such a big deal to the soybean market.
They have soybeans as well. They're just not as large a producer as Brazil. Brazil, by far, is the largest producer now in the world. For example, the United States produces about 110 million tons of soybeans, where now Brazil produces about, after this year, 152 million tons. So Argentina is important. But when we have such a massive crop coming out of our biggest producer, it really does affect our global prices. And I think that's something to remember. We have to understand where everything is produced and what that weather situation, that supply and demand situation, is in each of the large producing and exporting nations.
He adds that the amount of soybeans grown in Canada doesn't have a significant impact on the market either.
If you come with me down to London, Ontario, in the southern Ontario area, there's been a lot more corn and a lot more soybeans grown. Certainly more soybeans grown in southern parts of Saskatchewan, the Estevan, Moosomin area, and certainly in southern Manitoba. We have a lot more soybeans. But we really, when we look at it on a more global scale, it's really about the big exporters, United States and Argentina and Brazil, I would say, is sort of the big players within that market. So we really concentrate on those crops. And in the winter, right now, we would look to Argentina and Brazil, and of course in the summertime. As we head into May, we're going to start really focusing in on what's happening in the U.S. crop.
Magnuson then provided some advice on when to market your canola.
I think that there's going to be, certainly that big crop in Brazil is going to overhang that market. Now, the positive side of that is that we're holding, even with the biggest crop ever produced in Brazil, we're still holding canola at in and around about 820 to 830. Usually, when we look at daily prices, usually going through, I call it the dog days of winter, late January, February, we know that the price is going to be hang lower because of the soybeans coming off out of South America. A lot of times we see start to see upward pressure as we go into late April, early May, because the crushers need to stop or need to start buying. So I think that if you're a producer who needs cash, you might want to make some sales now. If you have the ability to hold, I think it's something that you might want to consider as we go through the better part of the spring of 2023.
He had these final comments on canola.
I think that what we need, though, to think about when you're looking at your marketing plan, the very, very, very first thing is get your pencil out, figure out what it's costing you, and then determine what is a good price. I often work with producers who want to always hit the top, but when you're looking for the top, often you find the bottom. So we want to make sure we got a good, solid price, we're satisfied with that price, then you want to make some sales.
Turning to wheat, Magnuson says the Russia-Ukraine conflict hasn't had as big of an influence as one might think.
You know, I think that we've over, in all honesty, I think that we've overplayed the Russian-Ukrainian situation. We certainly had wheat inflate going through October, November because of the Russian aggression. And I think it really comes down to is that we did have a very, very big crop. In fact, we had the biggest crop ever at 783 million tons. But the message here is that we are consuming 790. So we're actually chewing through stock. Argentina is a fairly big player in the wheat market in production and exports. They were dry. I think the absolute key, though, as producers look to make some sales or hold, depending on what they believe is going to happen, is really the situation of dryness, particularly in the mid-United States, one state in particular, and that's Kansas.
He says the drought situation in Kansas is very severe.
It is very, very dry. They're in their winter crop. The winter wheat crop went into dormancy at a high stress level, drought stress level. Now, we know that a winter, in the middle of winter, we don't create a wheat crop. But what we're seeing is a continuation of dryness. Even with the storms that are coming through California, they're moving more into the upper Midwest or going around towards places like Alabama, South Carolina, North Carolina. So that area of North Texas, southern Nebraska, Kansas is not getting moisture. And if that continues, and we, if that wheat comes out of dormancy in poor condition with little moisture, they, you got to remember that Kansas produces more wheat than Canada does. That could have a significant impact on global supplies And at that point in time, I would be expecting some upward movement of wheat as we go through mid-April, certainly the first week of May.
Magnuson offers his advice on when to sell wheat.
I think that what we would want to do is we would certainly want to be aware of the situation that we have in Kansas and follow it. And where you want to follow it is every Thursday morning at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, the U.S. Drought Monitor, which is a map of the United States detailing state by state, what is the weather situation, how much moisture have they received, what is the severity of the drought. We want to follow that on a weekly basis because that's what's going to drive our spring wheat prices.
And he provides one added tip.
Again, sharpen your pencil because fertilizer costs are coming down, but they're still very high.
Brad Magnuson is an independent agricultural consultant based in Manitoba. He held seminars in Wadena and Swan River this week. It's time now for the Commodities Update, and that's a presentation of Lane Realty. When it's time to sell the farm, call Lane Realty, your trusted and experienced farmland real estate company. To include your property for showings, call 620-7260 or visit lanerealty.com.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures are trading up across the board this hour. March canola trading at $833.70. That's up $8.60. May canola trading at $830.90, up $7.20. March Minneapolis wheat trading at $9.20.5, down $4.25. March Kansas City wheat trading at $8.73.25. Down 7.5 cents. March Chicago wheat trading at $7.55 per bushel, down 6 cents. March corn trading at $6.75.75, up 0.5 cent. March soybeans trading at $15.30 per bushel, down 4.25 cents. March oats trading at $3.82.25, down 7 cents. And that's the Commodities Update. Wheat midge is one of the three most damaging insect pests for wheat crops on the prairies. A program called Midge Busters is attempting to keep accurate counts of the midge population. Tyler Wist is a field crop entomologist with Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada in Saskatoon. Producers and agronomists who participate in the Midge Busters program are given a pheromone trap through a program sponsored by CCAN.
So, what's a pheromone trap? Well, it is a trap that smells like a female wheat midge. So, it's like catnip for male wheat midge. So, we're using that to try to track the numbers of wheat midge in people's field and also when those wheat midge emerge.
If enough pheromone traps are distributed, those results can be compared to the provincial wheat midge forecast maps. Wiss says the Midge Busters program will examine wheat midge emergence.
What I'm finding is that if we have the perfect conditions for wheat midge, like we get enough of those spring rains, then the wheat midge come out of the ground. But if they're forecasted to be there in the field, and we don't get those spring rains, they don't come out. They just sit in your field like a ticking time bomb, waiting until conditions are perfect.
Growers should monitor fields for midge as wheat heads emerge in late June and early July. The female midge are most active during warm, calm evenings. If you would like to participate in the Midge Busters 2023 program, send an email to tyler.wist, that's W-I-S-T, at agr.gc.ca. Please stay tuned. Your Farm Bulletin Board is coming up next.
Farm Bulletin Board.
Farm and Food Care Saskatchewan is co-hosting the 2023 Ag Awareness Summit with the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture. Public Trust Specialist Carly Rumpel has the details.
Maintaining and growing the public's trust in modern food production is critical to the agriculture industry's growth. Join the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture and Farm and Food Care Saskatchewan February 14th and 15th to celebrate 10 years of building public trust in agriculture at the Agriculture Awareness Summit. This event will bring people together from crops and livestock to horticulture and poultry, small-scale farms and agribusinesses to researchers and government to celebrate the strides made in building public trust and explore how the industry can adapt to change. This robust and exciting agenda includes the presentation of the Farm and Food Care Champion Award, sessions addressing marketing, consumer spending trends, and the political landscape, and keynote speeches from Tim McMillan, former president and CEO of the Canadian Association of Petroleum Producers, and Colin Angus, adventurer, author, and co-founder of Open Ocean Robotics. Registrations close February 9th, but don't wait, you won't want to miss this event. For more information and to register, visit www.farmfoodcaresk.org/conference or call the Agriculture Knowledge Center at 1-866-457-2377. See you there.
The Ag Awareness Summit will be held February 14th and 15th. Other items, the 2023 Winter Pulse Meetings are underway. The Saskatchewan Pulse Growers is sponsoring four meetings, the first of which was held yesterday in Regina. The next meeting goes this coming Thursday, February 9th, in Assiniboia. Then the third meeting will be in Elrose on Thursday, February 16th. And the fourth and last meeting will be held in Melfort on Thursday, March 2nd. You can register for the Saskatchewan Pulse Growers meeting at the Saskatchewan Pulse Growers website. The Saskatchewan Chamber of Commerce is hosting a two-day food, fuel, and fertilizer business summit. It's being held in Saskatoon. It runs from February 14th to the 15th at Prairieland Park. The summit is being put on in partnership with the Manitoba, Alberta, and British Columbia Chambers of Commerce. The summit is about positioning Western Canada as a major powerhouse in the global economy, especially as it relates to food, fuel, and fertilizer. Businesses across Saskatchewan will benefit through increased jobs and the need for goods and services. Over the 2 days, the advantage Western Canada has will be showcased as its capacity to engage in the global economy. The Business Summit will also identify opportunities for investment attraction, trade, and attracting global brands. The event will also be used to create a Western Canadian network to develop a plan for global positioning. Some of the speakers for the summit on day one will be Ken Seitz, the President and CEO of Nutrien, Robin Sylvester, the President and CEO of the Vancouver Port Authority, Susanna Pierce, the President and Country Chair of Shell Canada, and there will also be a panel discussion on why economic, social, and governance strategies matter and how to achieve sustainable growth on infrastructure. Day two, the guest speakers will include Murad Al-Khatib, the CEO of AGT Foods, as well as the Honorable Perrin Beattie, the President and CEO of the Canadian Chamber of Commerce. Speakers are coming to the summit from right across the West and across the country, and the full agenda is currently being finalized. Registration for the summit is now open. You can simply go to saskchamber.com. And that's coming up February 14th and 15th in Saskatoon. And applications are now being accepted for the 2023 Saskatchewan Agriculture Student Scholarship Program. This year's theme is Farming and the Environment. Applicants of the scholarship are encouraged to explore the idea of environmental sustainability within farming and the importance of public perception on modern farming practices. The deadline for applications is March 1st of this year, so it's fast approaching. For more information on the Saskatchewan Agriculture Student Scholarship Program, visit saskatchewan.ca/ag-scholarship. And that's today's Farm Bulletin Board. That'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again on Monday for another edition of the program at 12:15.